everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. Every weekend, we're here, we're doing life together, and we are so glad that you've joined us.
That's right, Dr. Linda. Good to be with you again. Hope your weekend is going well. And today we have an important show. We're discussing mental health and medications, and I know our listeners have a lot of questions about whether they should take medications to deal with mental health issues like depression and anxiety.
Chris, I've wanted to do a show on this topic for a long time. Mm. You are right. There are just so many questions that people have about faith and taking medications. Specifically, people ask, I'm a Christian. Should I be taking antidepressants?
Mm, right.
One of my very first blogs that I ever wrote was entitled Prozac or God. And the answer was, yes.
Yeah, both.
It was both. It was both, right. So both can be a part of your treatment if you're a person of faith. Now, unrelated to faith, today we're going to look at two really important studies that have come out that should make us think a little bit more about the role antidepressants may take in our treatment and how often that they're prescribed. We're going to talk about those two studies a little bit later in the show.
Right. Well, first, let's give just a little background. The pharmacy services company Medco reported that in 2010, 1 in 5 American adults took a mental health prescription drug. It's a 22% increase since 2001. And many, many people have been prescribed antidepressants.
So that's a lot of people, 1 in 5. It really is. So clinical depression, though, and anxiety are very real mental health problems for people. So we don't want to dismiss or diminish the importance of those two diagnoses, because both of those things can be very debilitating if you don't get help and if you don't get effective treatment. In the worst case, clinical depression can lead to suicide. So we do want people to get treatment. So I want to stress the seriousness of both anxiety and depression in a person's life. But today we're going to focus our attention on antidepressants. Are they effective? And are they safe? Are they the only treatment for depression? And what do I need to ask my doctor when it comes to taking an antidepressant?
Right. And we want to be clear that we don't want anyone to go off of their medications based on what we discussed today.
That's right. We don't. We always want you to check with your prescriber and don't start going off suddenly. That could put you at risk. So today's show is not intended to go against any medical advice or treatment you have been given. We just want to take a closer look as to how effective are these medications and do they have risks? We are not going to give medical advice on today's show, but we do want to inform you of the current studies that are out there related to antidepressants.
And we also want to be clear that antidepressants are usually prescribed for what is called unipolar and bipolar depression. What's the difference?
Okay, so what you said, they're usually described for unipolar, not bipolar. So I just want to get that straight. So bipolar disorder is a different type of disorder. Usually people think about that as the manic depressive. Do you remember that old term?
Right, yeah.
That's what we call bipolar now. It's characterized by this mania, this excessive mood that people have. But it's very different from the type of major depression that other people have, or maybe a persistent depression that somebody might have. So we treat mania differently. That's the point. We treat it with mood stabilizing medications, not antidepressants typically. In fact, if you have bipolar and you take an antidepressant, usually what happens is it makes the mania worse. Mm. And that's one of the diagnostic indicators that tells us, maybe it's not unipolar depression, maybe it is bipolar instead. So we're talking mainly about the antidepressants and their use for what is called unipolar depression.
Well, I think it's safe to say that just like you take, you know, an aspirin for a headache, you might for a season take some sort of medicine that would help you get your bearings mentally so that you can work on the root of the causes of the problem.
I think that's fair to say. And people of faith often ask, is it a lack of faith for me to take a medication if I'm dealing with depression or anxiety? And my answer always is no, it's not a lack of faith to take a medication. If you were diabetic, Chris, and I said, it's a lack of faith for you to take your insulin, what would you think of that?
I would think you were a little bit off.
Yeah, right. Or even if you had a migraine and you took a medication. We don't seem to question when it's a physical thing like that, but when it's a mental health issue, then we get a little bit more judgmental, I would say, about taking medications for mental health problems.
I would think that if a medication could help you concentrate and read your Bible and calm you down in such a way that you could pray more, it would help you be more engaging in your faith, and that would be a good thing.
Yeah, so when people are clinically depressed, they usually don't have the energy or the motivation to read their Bible. They might even be suicidal and feeling hopeless. Hmm. So what can happen is the medication can lift them out of that very dark space. And for some people, these medications are lifesavers.
So let's talk about depression, and for that matter, describe what it is.
When people are depressed, they usually have a change in appetite, they feel fatigued, they have concentration problems, they have sleeping difficulties, they feel very sad, they might be crying, irritable, agitated, and a lot of times people will have suicidal thoughts with feeling clinically depressed. And if you stay in a state of depression, it does impact your physical body. And in fact, we have a lot of studies that tell us that clinical depression leaves you at risk for doubling your mortality at any age, regardless of any other kind of independent factor like smoking or other risk factors related to poor health. So just the fact that you are struggling with clinical depression puts you at risk for a doubling of your mortality.
Wow. Depression affects the entire person, the whole person. And it can be caused by a number of things.
That's right. So again, we want to make sure people understand that some depression is more about sadness than pain. Sometimes it's a lack of pleasure. People just don't have any interest in the things that they did before, sometimes by boredom, or sometimes they're just feeling really isolated and alone, and they sort of feel like they want to crawl up in a room and never go out.
Right.
The pain of depression is a really critical starting point for thinking about how do we treat this? And many Christians already have a good idea about how to treat pain in their body. But when it comes to the pain that they're feeling emotionally, that isn't so clear when we're talking about depression.
So what are some of the ways to treat it?
There is the antidepressant medication that we're going to talk about in a minute. But I want to really push exercise. Now, I know when you're feeling depressed, that's the last thing you're thinking about.
It can make you depressed.
Right.
Thinking about
it. You don't want to get up and move, right? You don't have the energy. You're feeling fatigued. Mm-hmm. But exercise is actually a prescription. If we could prescribe that like a drug, we'd see a lot of people improving in their mood. There's also talk therapy. And again, this takes time. You know, you have to go maybe to a therapist or a mental health person, maybe for a number of weeks, and talk through the roots of the problem, which is more time-consuming than taking a pill, but talk therapy in a lot of studies has proven to be equally effective in treating depression. And then we have some other newer therapies. There's something called transcranial magnetic stimulation. It's called TMS, and we're seeing some really good results with that procedure with depression, and it has very few side effects. It's actually magnets that go on the head. That help treat depression. And then in some serious cases, sometimes people have to have electroconvulsive therapy, or what people call ECT, in the very serious cases. So there are other ways to treat depression other than just putting people on medications. And of course, you and I, Chris, want to talk about always the spiritual side of people.
Right.
With prayer, sometimes with fasting, sometimes a renewed turning to God and really developing that intimacy with God. Sometimes people's depression is caused by unforgiveness. They're angry, they're resentful, they're holding on to a lot of rage in their body. Sometimes it's a lack of self-control or discernment. Sometimes if we just show gratitude in our daily life and we focus on the things that are positive, that can lift our spirits and begin to take us out of sort of a deep funk. So we can treat depression with the spirit, with the physical, with the emotional things that we've been talking about. And all of that is very important.
We'll talk about this more throughout the show, but there are some Christians who believe that any psychiatric drug is a spiritual rejection of the Bible.
Yeah, and I'm not one of those Christians who believes that. But I also don't believe that everything always is caused by, you know, something in the material world either. There are spiritual causes to some things, but not everything is caused by something spiritual. Sometimes it's lifestyle. Sometimes it's the result of a medication you're taking. Some depressions are caused by substance use. You know, we got a lot of people who are drinking and taking illegal drugs, and there's a depressive side to all of that. So when depression is caused by something physiological, like a prescribed medication or substance use, or a medical condition like heart disease or cancer, medical treatment is often necessary.
Well, I hope you can already see that this is an important conversation as we do Life Together on today's program. We'll continue our conversation about the use of antidepressants when we come back after the break on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Threats of war, racial tension, divorce, natural disasters. If you are like me, sometimes I just have to turn off the news and remind myself that there is actually good in our world. It's so easy to listen to all the bad news and become worried. Worried about the future, about the Middle East, crime, finances, health, family problems, and, you know, so it goes. But Scripture tells us to take those worried thoughts captive, to be anxious about nothing. That is one of the reasons I wrote Letting Go of Worry. I didn't want worry to grip so many of us and cause us to lose our peace. So the next time you hear bad news, remind yourself to take those anxious thoughts captive. If you need help doing so, Letting Go of Worry is a good resource and will walk you through the steps to living in peace and contentment.
Letting Go of Worry by Dr. Linda Mental, available on her website, drlindamental.com, and online.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and remember, you can listen to this program on the podcast at any time at myfaithradio.com, and check out Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com, for her blogs and links to social media, and join her on Twitter at Dr. Linda Helps, Facebook, Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker, and Instagram at Dr. Linda Mental. And for those who are just joining us, we're talking today about mental health and medication, and we're going to talk more about the use of antidepressants during this segment. We've determined that it's not wrong for a Christian to take medications, and we don't want anyone listening to stop taking what has been prescribed. This is not medical advice, but Dr. Linda, you recently blogged about two important studies regarding both the effectiveness and the safety of antidepressants.
Chris, because antidepressants are so widely prescribed, I think it's important for consumers to be up to date on what the research is telling us so that we can make informed decisions about our own health.
Well, people who struggle with depression often go to their doctor, their primary care physician, and are placed on antidepressants.
And in some cases, a formal evaluation of depression hasn't even been conducted. So that's a problem in my mind. The provider needs to take time. They need to talk to you about your life, your symptoms, with a formal evaluation to make that diagnosis and better understand what is causing your depression. But even when clinical depression is present, the cost and the benefit of being on a medication should always be discussed.
The U.S. Centers for Disease Control estimates that 1 in 11 people meet criteria for clinical depression, and Medscape reports that 1 in 10 people use antidepressants, and a lot of people want to know if antidepressants are safe.
Yeah, I went ahead and just Googled safety of antidepressants just to see what would come up. And, you know, there's a lot of good information that you can find. Most of the sites will say they're relatively safe with certain exceptions. But it's important to know about these two new studies that are out. So let me get to the first one. This one was done a few years ago. So this one was done in 2010. So it's not quite as recent as the one that was done in 2017. But this one in 2010 was a large study on the effectiveness of antidepressants. And what they found in this study, that the majority of people who took these medications were really not getting that much benefit from them.
Wow.
So that's an interesting finding, that antidepressants don't work for everyone. Another study in the Journal of the American Medical Association found that the drugs work best for very severe cases of depression, but that they don't have a lot of benefit in less serious cases. So that study looked at the antidepressants that people take, the SSRIs, that stands for the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, and the older drugs that aren't prescribed that often, called tricyclics. But remember, as they're looking at these, they're saying they're not effective for everyone, and yet they really do save some people's lives.
What about the safety of these medications? Have we concluded that they are relatively safe?
Well, this is the concerning study that I just saw. It was published in Psychotherapy and Psychosomatics, And the conclusion of that study, and it was a large study, Chris, it had like 375,000 patients in it.
Wow.
It looked at like 16 different trials and studies that have been done. It's what we call a meta-analysis. And they concluded in that antidepressants are not safe for the general population. If I remember the statistic right, I don't have this in front of me, I believe it was a 33% increase in premature death from people who took antidepressants versus people in the general population who did not.
So 1 in 10 of us are using these medications, and they are, in fact, not that safe.
Well, according to this new study, so there was one group that didn't seem to have that effect, and that was cardiovascular patients, because there's an anti-clotting property in the antidepressants that may help treat cardiovascular disease. But I think it's important to look at this and say that you may have an increased risk if you take an antidepressant for premature death. Mm-hmm. Now, at the end of the study, they did say that people that are clinically depressed typically have other illnesses as well.
Right.
Because remember, depression affects the whole body. And there may be other illnesses that are causing the depression. So it's sort of a chicken and egg thing when we talk about
right.
it. And so there is some question as to whether or not the illnesses that people have with depression, are those really related to the increased risk in death? But the point of this is that these aren't going to be effective for everybody, and there are some safety concerns that we need to think about.
So as we get more data on the long-term use of these medications, people need to know and then talk to their doctors about the risks and the benefits.
I think that's exactly the point. Talk to your doctor. We're not suggesting, again, that you stop these medications. We would rather have you go to your physician and say, you know, I heard about these two studies. Hmm. How safe are these medications and how effective are these medications for me? And if they're not working for you, you need to tell your physician that. And then ask, are there other ways apart from medication to treat the kind of depression that I might have? And maybe they don't have those kind of side effects. So clinical depression can be debilitating, but we do have good treatments that get people back and functioning. And not all of those treatments are medication treatments.
There are 4 questions that you suggest that we ask our doctors. The first one is, am I truly depressed?
Right. So life crises can trigger symptoms that look a lot like depression.
Hmm.
You know, but you might not need a medication approach. Grieving, for instance, is normal. And maybe there are some things that you're going through in life that you just need a coach or you need some mentoring to help work you through it. Some things that we go through just make us feel bad, and that's normal.
Right.
And we need to be able to tolerate these negative feelings when they come up and move through them rather than always thinking I have to medicate that feeling.
The second question is, are you willing to stick with treatment long term, including trying possibly more than one drug?
Right, because antidepressants don't work immediately. They usually take a number of weeks to get into your system, and sometimes you have side effects right at the beginning of starting an antidepressant. And here's the thing. With all we know about these medicines, they still are somewhat of a trial and error. So if one doesn't work, your doctor may want to try you on something else.
Question 3 is, would counseling help your mild depression, either alone or combined with an antidepressant?
So the research says that for mild depression, psychotherapy works just as well. And exercise, there it is.
There we
exercise
go again. Right.
Can improve your mood as well.
And finally, ask, do you have a good working relationship with your doctor?
That's right. You need to be informed by your physician. You need to be able to talk to your doctor. You should be able to raise questions about these two studies. You should be able to go into your doctor's office and say, hey, if you're going to put me on an antidepressant, I want to know if it's safe, I want to know if it's effective, and I want to know if there are any side effects that are going along with this medication. And so I think it's appropriate for people to ask that question.
Would you be a little wary of a doctor who immediately says, just take the drug?
Yeah, I would be. Mm-hmm. I think, again, doctors know that they have to inform you of side effects and risks in order for you to make a good decision.
Right. Well, hopefully these are helpful questions to ask in order to make an informed decision about how you are going to get help. We need to take a short break. When we return, more about medications and mental health. Stay with us on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Mother and daughter relationships are powerful, and they impact all our other relationships. Think about it. The way you react with your mom typically is the way you might react with other people. Yet this important bond can be filled with tension when both women try to find their own voice and develop a sense of self. So working through the mother-daughter relationship can be a challenge, but it is so worth the effort. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and I would love to help you navigate this important relationship and strengthen it to the best it can be. That's why I wrote, I Love My Mother, But, a book to strengthen the mother-daughter relationship. We all love our mothers, but sometimes we need a little help working through our differences. I Love My Mother, But, available on my website, drlindamental.com, or online where books are sold.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and remember, you can listen to this podcast anytime at myfaithradio.com and even share it with a friend or a family member, and check out Dr. Linda's regular blogs on her website, drlindamental.com, as well. Dr. Linda, let's talk about the pharmacy industry. Are we getting the expectation that we should never have pain, and if we do, we need to medicate it? It's a little bit like the question I asked at the end of the last segment. Should we be wary of pills being thrown at us immediately?
Well, what do you think? What do you think? There's a lot of messages about not having any pain, don't you think?
Definitely.
And there's a lot of medications that are put on television and advertised. It's a concerning message. Now, certainly, I'm grateful for medication for any kind of pain. It's great to have that, including emotional pain. But we need to remember, Chris, that the normal human life isn't what is determined by the pharmaceutical industry or even by the lives of people we see in movies and on screens or, frankly, by some Christian sermons that never talk about suffering.
Right.
The normal human life is the life of Jesus. And his life, he had joy, he had fellowship, he had celebration, but he also had times of loneliness. And he suffered sadness at times, and he had lament. In fact, there's a whole book in the Bible called Lamentations. He felt grief. He felt anger. He suffered. And he did this all without sin.
Right.
So when we look back and go, oh, you know, they're just having those feelings because of sin. No, Jesus had all of that. And he was without sin. He felt it all.
Well, in order to be a human, he had to experience
that. That's right.
So the Bible is clear that we will have pain and suffering here in this world. But the question is, when do we use the medication and how do we use it?
The Bible teaches us that we groan along with the persecuted creation around us. That's a scripture from Romans 8. And we cry out with Jesus himself, experiencing with him often the agony of Gethsemane. And paradoxically, along the way, with that kind of groaning and grief, we also have joy and peace in Jesus. So our emotional lives are very complicated. And a regenerated person's emotional life is complicated too. We're not saying stop taking your antidepressants, but I am saying that taking medication without working through the causes of depression will only medicate your symptoms. And it's not going to get at the issues that need to be changed that are at the root, the cause of that depression. What I'm really concerned about, and one of the reasons we're doing this show, is that too often people just take medications and they don't work through the root causes of the depression that they're having.
A painkiller will make your broken finger feel better, but you still should have the finger fixed.
Right. And it concerns me in our culture today because we want to escape and we don't want to feel bad things. And so having a pill to take, we have to be careful that we don't get into that mindset.
Would you say there still is a tendency in the church to think that you can get over depression on your own? I mean, it's depression is just a sign that you're not trying hard enough. It's a lack of faith or it's a sign of weakness.
I do think there are people who still think that, and I don't think that's true at all. We need to keep in mind that depression and medical illness and psychiatric illness are all related. So it's not like you can be in poor physical health and then never expect to have any kind of emotional side effect of that. So it's all interrelated. And it's complicated when you're talking about individual people's lives. You don't know what somebody's been through. You don't know what their physical condition is. You don't know what they might be struggling with. So I think we have to be very careful in the church to not judge people who are struggling with depression because of maybe situational issues, maybe genetics have something to do with that. Maybe there's some really serious physical issues they're dealing with, or maybe they've just gone through a terrible trauma or some kind of stress.
So the treatment with medications can be tricky, because we don't completely understand what's happening in the brain and the body anyway. We don't have complete answers as to how all of this works.
It's so interesting, isn't it? We know so much in the area of science, and yet we can image the brain, we can look inside of it with all our great, you know, techniques, but depression is still about more than just chemical imbalance. We just aren't sure what parts of the body are broken, so to speak, when it comes to depression, because it's such a pervasive thing in a person's life. It's almost like it's a group of illnesses in which there are several ways biologically to become clinically depressed. So this is why the medication approach is often trial and error. We just don't understand what's exactly going on in somebody's body. And that's why you have to sometimes try something. If it doesn't work, try something else. So the point is, as we end the show for today, that you as the consumer or the patient should ask questions about the effectiveness of medications. You should ask about the safety of a medication, and you should be informed as to the risks and the benefits. And that way you can make a decision about what you want to do. The most important thing I want to leave you with is that you need to treat clinical depression. Again, Chris, let's not forget about the people who have been suicidal and have taken their lives because they've not gotten treatment for their clinical depression. So this is a very serious topic, but we want to remind you that when someone's depressed, it involves their body, their mind, and their spirit. And we need to get at the root of that depression. Depression can be treated, and at times it's appropriate to use medications. And at other times, you may need some other type of therapy, or you may even need some spiritual intervention in your life. So don't judge. Ask a lot of questions. Make sure you treat clinical depression. And don't accuse somebody as having a lack of faith if they're struggling with clinical depression. That's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer and our social media director, Norm Mintel, our engineer, and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.